for the work of God? And the answer is, you come and watch people remembering the Lord. And I can remember as a child sitting here and saying to myself, Harold, there's something different between you and these people. And what the difference is that they love the Lord a whole lot more than you do. And I found it a very humbling and a wonderful experience just to realize what is going on. So we rejoice at the youth being with us. My counsel to you is continue to bring the children to all the meetings. Lorna will confirm what I'm about to say. Her father used to tell us that when he was 3 years old, he had a pretty good understanding of God's prophetic plan. I think some of us are over 3 years old and still don't have a really good understanding of God's prophetic plan. How did he learn that? Well, he went to a lot of meetings and listened to the truth of God as it was expounded. And so we invite the children to be part of all of our meetings. I'm going to get you to turn this morning, please, to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 1. We pray a lot at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. We have prayer meetings at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel. And there's our regular prayer meeting on a Tuesday evening. There are special prayer meetings for ladies on Saturday mornings. There are special times we get together for regular prayer. How important is prayer? Answer, it's very, very important. And what are the consequences of prayer? And the result of prayer, the consequences of prayer, are that we pray and the Lord is going to answer those prayers. The problem is, what do we pray for? So do you ever analyze your prayers? And sometimes people analyze their prayers and they say, well, I guess I pray for, you probably would learn a great deal about yourself, wouldn't you? If you analyzed your prayers, what might you find? You might find that you pray for yourself a lot, and that might not be the best thing. You might find that you pray for, we tend to pray for the sick a lot. Is that right? Yeah, I think it is. Is it priority? Well, no, I think if you're going to prioritize those things that you would pray for, you'd be praying for a lot of things other than just sick. We pray when we are sick, and the Lord is gracious to us. But there are so many other things for which we should be praying. And so one of the things that you can learn is you can learn to pray by praying the prayers in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. I spoke to a friend a couple of weeks ago. He said, do you folk use the Believer's Hymn Book at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel? I said, yeah, we do. He said, you know, I've just rediscovered that book. He said, it's a marvelous book. So I thought I'd better tell him the story of a friend of mine that I met many years ago in Germany. And he said this. He said, you know, the Believer's Hymn Book is such a wonderful book. He said, I have prayed through that Believer's Hymn Book twice on my knees. What's your prayer life like? Do you have a disciplined prayer life? Do you have a sporadic, periodic prayer life? And you'll find that the great men of God were men of great prayer. I'm reminded of Martin Luther. He said, I have such a busy day today that I could not possibly get through it all if I didn't spend 2 hours in prayer before I got started. Did Martin Luther accomplish a lot? Yeah, he did. Powerful influence for God. How did it happen? Well, it happened because
Among other things, he was a man of prayer. So the question is, when you pray, how do you pray? What do you pray for? So we're going to read a prayer of Paul for the Colossians. And I want you to take a look at it and then ask yourself the question, is if this is the way we pray. And you might even say this is a model prayer that we could follow ourselves. Here we go, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Lord, we pray that you'll just help us as we study this prayer now, and we pray that we might become men and women of prayer, and that you might fulfill in us the results of this particular prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The apostle says, I do not cease to pray for you, which means he prays often. Does he pray the same prayer often? Probably he does. The Lord prayed the same prayer on a few occasions, didn't he? He went back in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went back and prayed, saying the same words. And periodically, we find that we must pray the same prayer. This is a prayer, the themes of which are worth repeating as we try to live them out in our own lives and pray for others. He says, I don't cease to pray for you and to desire, number one, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What is foundational to the life of the Christian? Answer, the knowledge of the will of the Lord. What is the Lord's will? Well, I would like to know, wouldn't you? Youth often are very interested in learning what God's will for them is. And the first thing about the will of God is that we want to know what the Bible says the will of God is. It's difficult to know as you're driving down the street whether you turn left or turn right at the intersection. Sometimes that becomes a pretty important question. But the far more fundamental questions are not whether I turn right or left at the next corner, but they are how I live my life in the light of the will of God. And so the Word of God is here to teach us the will of God. And we want to, what's the line? We want to be filled with the knowledge of God. How much of the knowledge of God do we have? You probably will agree with me that I don't really have as much of the knowledge of the will of God that I should have. Why would that be? Haven't spent as much time in the Word, haven't spent as much time prayerfully considering the teaching of the Word as I should. The will of God is something that we should be filled with. As a matter of fact, the word knowledge there is actually the full knowledge. We should be filled with the full knowledge of the will of God. And we should be filled with it in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Is it possible to have a knowledge of God without wisdom and spiritual understanding? And the answer is yes. I was at university many, many years ago. I had a professor who was a very, very wicked man, used to quote the Bible often. And I used to say to myself, Harold, he's quoting the Bible again. How does this wicked man know it? He must have gone to Sunday school. He must have read it. He maybe has a photographic mind. I don't know. I do know that he knew a little bit about the will of God, but not with wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we want to know all about the will of God, and we want to know it with wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that is why we spend a lot of time studying the Bible. We spend a lot of time at 16th studying the Bible together. We spend a lot of time privately on our own studying the Bible individually. We come to a lot of meetings. We might not understand everything that's going on, but slowly, slowly, it's beginning to get into our mind. What a wonderful thing to be exposed to the truth of God. All right, that's the end of the prayer, is it? Well, no, that's not the end of the prayer yet. There's more to it. So verse 10 says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. This would be the second item in the great prayer of the Apostle Paul for the Corinthians. Number one, you're filled with the knowledge of his will. Number two, we walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing. Or you walk worthy of the Lord in such a way that you begin to please people. What's the point of learning the will of God if you don't live it out in such a way that you walk according to the Word of God? You've got to learn it, and then you've got to walk it out. So you learn it in the morning, and you walk it in the day. Tom Hay, the missionary, went to Japan many, many years ago in order to serve the Lord. How was he going to learn English? No. How is he going to learn Japanese? He said, this is what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to learn the Japanese character. Every morning I will learn two or three new Japanese characters, and I will use them in conversation every day. And so he learned the three characters, and then as he went through the day, he would be saying, now what do I do? How can I make sure that I use these characters? He was thinking about them as he got going in the morning. He was thinking at lunch, saying, have I used them that? He was thinking them in the afternoon. Have I used them yet? He was thinking do you think he was learning them? Yeah. That's what, if you're going to do it, you've got to learn it, you've got to study it, and then you put it into practice. You read your Bible, and then you obey it. What's the good of being filled with the knowledge of his will if you don't live it out and work it out in the life that follows? So, item number two, second level, if you like, of the prayer, is that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That means work it out in your own life. You want to work it out in a way, thank you, Roy. You want to work it out in a way that is going to be pleasing to others. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? 12 years old he was when he went and spoke to the doctors in Jerusalem. And then after that, we read that he grew in stature and wisdom and in favor with God and man. He knew the truth of God, and he lived in the way of the truth of God. He grew in favor with God and man. That's exactly what the apostle is praying for the Colossians. Get filled with the knowledge of his will, and then start applying it so that you grow in favor with man and God. Do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in school, was a good student? That's right. Yo-Yo says yes. Okay, he was a good student. And how was he a good student? He was a good student in that the teachers would look at him, and they would say, he's the one he obeys, he listens, he knows, he understands, he cares for the other students in the class. We study the Bible how? We study the Bible in order to live the Bible. Now, Paul says to the Colossians, we want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, but surely you've got to apply it. Number three, that you might, verse 10, walk worthy of the Lord unto all, pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Okay, what's that mean? Well, it means that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just learn it and he just didn't live it a little, but he was fruitful in what he did. You learn it, you begin to live it out, but you see its fruit growing in your life and growing from your life. Would it be possible to live maybe a self-centered life, where you're living out some things, but you don't really have fruit coming out of your life? What a terrible thing. What a disappointing thing. That's probably the better word there. What a disappointing thing. To be living the Christian life and not seeing any fruit. The question, though, is what kind of fruit would you expect would come out of a life that was filled with the knowledge of God and was walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing? What kind of fruit would you get? And the answer is every kind of fruit. Some people say, you know, there's a number of gifts in the Bible, and the gift that I have is this, the gift that you have is that, and it's true, some people have special gifts in special areas. But this verse isn't talking about special gifts in special areas. This verse is talking about the general tenor of life. You're filled with the knowledge of his will. You are walking a life that's pleasing to others. And there is fruit coming from each aspect of your life. Is God big enough to ensure that? And the answer is yes. God is big enough to ensure that. That is God's plan. God's plan is that we be fruitful in all aspects of our life. Some of us, unfortunately, become so specialized that we're not very effective elsewhere. You heard about the fellow who decided that he would learn more and more about less and less until he knew everything about nothing. That's not the way the Christian life is lived. Christian life lives, we learn all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And having learned about him, we live those great truths, and we expect that he's going to be bringing forth fruit in the many aspects of our lives. That's God's plan for us. You got the three levels now? What's level number one? Knowledge of his will. Level number two, walking worthy of the Lord, pleasing the Lord. Number three, being fruitful. What's number four? And increasing in the knowledge of God. So what's the difference between number four and number one? Number one is being filled with the knowledge of his will, and number four is increasing in the knowledge of God. What's the difference? Well, there's all the difference between knowing the rules and knowing the Lord. And God's plan is that we get to know him. How do we get to know him? We start by learning the rules. We start by following the rules. We start by enjoying the blessings that flow from following the rules. And as we do, we get to know and love him. I'm not sure that every believer gets to level number four very quickly. A lot of people know about God. Do they really know and love the Lord? What is their relationship with the Lord himself? It's one thing to have a knowledge of his will. We want you to be able to quote some verses. We want the people of God to understand the truth of God, but we want the people of God to get to the level where they know the Lord. And that's one reason why we have the breaking of bread every week, isn't it? When we are before him at the breaking of bread, our hearts are humbled and we're saying, Lord, you're so wonderful. And we, as we focus on him at the breaking of bread, we will learn more. Some people say, you know, I don't really like to go to the breaking of bread very much because I don't learn very much. Oh, what is it you don't learn? Well, you might say, I didn't learn anything more about the will of God. No, that's level number one. But if you were at the breaking of bread, would you maybe learn something more about the Lord himself? Would you maybe just pour your heart out a little more toward him in affection and humility? How are you going to get to know him? The only way you're going to get to know him is to spend time with him. In the hustle and bustle of life, we don't spend as much time with him as we should. We could, but we don't always. Why do we take an hour to remember the Lord? In order to spend some time alone with him. What do you do in the quiet moments of the Lord's Supper? There are quiet moments in the Lord's Supper. What do you do? And you pour out your heart before him, don't you? The bread is passed. The wine is passed. There's moments of silence. And you take those emblems. And you just say, Lord Jesus, I love you. You thank the Lord Jesus for what he's done and doing for you. You pour out your heart toward him. I heard the story last week at Bible camp about John Wesley. He was a man of great discipline. And his plan in life was to never waste a moment of his time. When he was riding horseback and he went thousands and thousands of miles on horseback preaching the gospel, when he was riding horseback, he'd be reading his Bible. When he wasn't reading his Bible, he would be praying or meditating. What do you do with those quiet moments? At the breaking of bread, what we do with the quiet moments is we say, Lord, I just want to love you. I want to get to know you better. So take advantage of the quiet moments in the breaking of bread. That's level number four. What would level number five be? Verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. How do you get to be a strong Christian? You get to be a strong Christian by, first of all, knowing the will of God. But if it stops there, you won't be strong. You might be headstrong. You might know a few things from your head, but you won't know much about life if all you know is the will of God. How are you going to be strong? Why, you would be strong if, in fact, having learned the truth of God, you applied it so that your walk was pleasing to God and to man. And you would be strong because you would begin to see fruit growing in so many areas. We mentioned the last time, I think, I spoke at the Family Bible Hour that I think the phrase was, joy is the harvest. Okay? Where do you get joy if you're a farmer? You get joy from the harvest. Does that mean because you're going to have a harvest, you don't have to work? No. Well, the closer you get to harvest, the harder you work. Joy is not the absence of work. Joy is the harvest. And there are difficult days before, during, and after harvest. But joy is the harvest. Where's the strength come from? The strength comes from being fruitful in every good work. And if you're fruitful in every good work, why then the strength can come as you know God. You're fruitful in the work. The knowledge of God is there. And the strength of God comes from the knowledge of God, which comes from the fruitfulness, which comes from the walk that comes from the knowledge of his will. So the question that I would put to us is, how are we doing at level number five? I keep thinking of this in terms of a pyramid. Okay? How do you get a strong capstone on a pyramid? You got to have a strong foundation, and you go up and up and up and up and up till you get to the top. And if we're going to be strong, not every Christian is strong, you know. If you're going to be strong, the foundations under that are going to have to be strong. What's number six? If number five is being strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, what is number six? Well, it's patience and long suffering. How many like long-suffering? Raise your hand if you like long-suffering. Okay, you're all listening. Thank you very much. Okay, we don't like long-suffering. Why do we have to be strong? We have to be strong because we're living in this old world. And in this old world, there's going to be suffering. Paul guarantees to Timothy, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Will that suffering be easy? No, it's going to be hard. How can you be suffering, long suffering with joy? You can only be long suffering with joy if you are filled with the knowledge of God and strengthened by His might, according to His glorious power. You can endure, but you can't endure if you can't endure in the bottom. You can only endure because of the foundations that are under you. And so endurance and long suffering are level 6, if you like. Joy could be level 7, or it could be level 6. I'm not sure where to put it. If joy is level 7, it is the natural consequence of endurance and long suffering based on the strength and the knowledge of God. And it's possible to be joyful in the difficulties of life. So I could ask you again, couldn't I? Do you have any difficulties in your life? And you would all raise your hand and you would say, yes, I've got difficulties in the life. Now, you have joy in the difficulties of life. That's a totally different story. And the apostle says to the Colossians, listen, my objective for you is that you will have joy in the difficulties of life based on all these wonderful things that are going on in your life. What's the foundation? Learning His will, applying His will, proving His will, getting to know Him, building your muscles, your spiritual muscles, so that you can endure in the difficulties, so that you can have joy. If joy is in number 7, then verse 12, giving thanks, would be number 7. Get to the pinnacle. What do you get at the pinnacle? The pinnacle is joy and giving thanks. Do you thank the Lord for all His goodness? Yes, you say. Sometimes you say, Lord, I just wish I were a little more thankful. Okay, you should be more thankful. What could you do if you wanted to be more thankful? We could get to know His will better. And you could walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing more. And you could be fruitful in more good work. And you could increase more in the knowledge of God so that you would be stronger, so that you could suffer longer in order to get more joy and thanksgiving. Is that right? Can I do it again? You suffer longer and more in order to get more joy and thanksgiving. Was Paul wrong in praying this prayer for the Colossians? No. This is God's plan for us. God's plan for us is spiritual maturity. You could have spiritual infancy, and that's very good. And sometimes the little children, they've got some good things as they're learning the truth of God. But God's plan is far more than that. All right. That's where we are this morning. We're going to give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, and then we will carry on. We're going to have some tea and coffee downstairs, and then we'll have the rest of our activities as the day goes on. Let's just ask the Lord for His blessing now. Lord, we want to thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You for the fact that the prayer that You have for us is a prayer that can be answered. If it weren't written in the Bible, we would probably say that's impossible. But the Holy Spirit of God has been given to us not because it's impossible, because it's been given because it is God's plan for us, that we all live these kinds of lives, not just the Colossians, but God's plan is that we all live these lives. And Lord, we pray that we might live these lives. So we give thanks now. We look to You for blessing. Guide us this morning. Prosper us and bless us, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.